Amen. Chris Wilson, are you here? Okay, he's going to make an announcement this morning, and maybe he'll be here a little bit later on. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be assembled together today, and Brother Dennis Moore's sister went on to be with the Lord. That Moore family was born and reared here in his church, born across the road. And they were raised here in the church, and they sang together for many, many, many years. And now she went on to be with the Lord. The visitation will be tonight, 6 o'clock, the 8 at Schuller Funeral Home, and the graveside service tomorrow at Forest Lawn at 11 o'clock. Remember that, if you will, and pray for this precious family. This morning we're going to do something a little bit unusual, because that's what God wanted us to do. And in Bible times, in the Word of God, Jesus himself used a lot of illustrations about things that we're familiar with. He talked about plants, he talked about seed, he talked so many things. And some of the verses that he wrote, the precious Word of God, is like in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Psalms 92, verse 12 and 13. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. These that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. On occasions I have had the opportunity to preach about the palm tree flourishing and make comparison. That's what he wants to make comparison to our righteousness, how he will cause us to flourish. And I hope the Lord lets me do that again sometime about the palm tree. But this morning I want to use as an illustration, God showed me, the cactus. We're going to look at a picture of a cactus that, a bed of cactus that was in Sandra and I's front yard for many years. And there's a lot of good about it. We can learn much about the cactus in our lives, some comparison. And that's slide one. Then we'll look a little closer up at slide two and slide three. These cactus, I remember when I came here about 28 years ago, Brother David and Miss Betty Livingston and Dad Sandra and I home with them one day to eat, and Miss Betty was a wonderful cook. And out in the yard was that type of cactus. And I said, yeah, I'd like to have a cousin of that. My mother was big on cutting the flowers of any kind. And he said, well, you won't have much trouble getting it to live, but watch out for the spines, the thorns. So not growing up around where there was cactus, I could not wait to get the cutting. And I might say it's no trouble to get cactus started growing. Just put it out there on the grass and it takes roots. Rain or shine, it's going to grow. We'll use that illustration a little bit later on. And so in the last 27 years, occasion as a building around the house and everything, I moved it from here, I moved it to there, and it just kept on growing. The bed just kept on growing. And there's a lot of problems with it, too. But I love flowers. And I remember growing up in the mountains of Western North Carolina and Madison County, walked to school a mile and a half through the woods, through the changing color of the leaves. Never thought anything about it. Just something we got used to, going to get the cows and everything. Just, we grew up the mountains, and the trees around here are wonderful, thank God for them. But I love the cactus because I guess it was so different. And you go out west and you drive through those plains, and there's hardly any trees, and once in a while you see a field of cactuses or miles of cactuses, and then they bloom. And I remember one time I had to go to El Paso every year to travel from there down to Juarez, Mexico. And I would choose a time sometimes when the cactus were blooming in Texas and Arizona. And the Lord sent me and Sandra to 7 places on the perimeter of our 48 states. And the first place he sent me was to Big Bend, Texas, next to Rio Grande. It's about 300 miles from where we flew into El Paso. So it's, oh, get to drive all the way through those cactuses. So I chose a time. They bloom best, about April, May, and sometimes in June. So we're going to get to see many, many cactuses today. Tell you about that a little bit later on. But let's look, first of all, at six different things concerning the cactus comparison there. Jesus compared our lives with the palm tree. He said that he was a rose of Sharon, and there's a lot we can learn about the cactus. First of all, let's look at the sin nature of man. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, 9, and 10, because we're going to look at the characteristic. The cactuses are beautiful to bloom, and the variety of cactuses, there's 127 different kinds or groups or classes of cactus. But then if you look at the species, there's almost 1,800 of those. So cactuses come from tall pipe cactus to beautiful cactuses like this. And I'm not authority on cactuses by any stretch of imagination, but I'm pretty well acquainted with this type of cactus because I've moved it and moved it, and it keeps growing and multiplying. And by the way, that's what our life should be. You see, our life should count for Christ. When you get saved, you're in Christ Jesus, and just bloom where you're planted. The reason I like cactuses, or at least this species that I'm familiar with, they require no attention whatsoever. You just plant it, you just almost scrape the ground and put it there, it's going to grow. If it doesn't rain for 3 months, that's okay. It's going to live. And you don't have to fertilize it. I didn't. I don't have to do anything to it. And that's why I like it. Says, hey, that's the way Christians ought to be. He saves us. He secures us. And he comes in to live in their heart. And Paul says we shouldn't be like babies all of our life. We ought to grow up and be nurtured in the Word of God and read and study, show ourselves approved. And so the cactus and you and I have a lot in common. So let's look at the sin nature of man. Every one of us have it. We were born with it because Adam and Eve, they sinned. And they had a sin nature. God gave it to them. And the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. First John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, he's talking to Christians. If we, including himself, say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See how simple he makes it? We sin, confess it, he cleanses us. All we have to do is admit to him. Don't hardly have to do anything. Yeah, we sin. Doesn't give you a license to sin, but we do sin. And if we sin, and we will sin, because we're not perfect, we have the sin nature. Oh, I thought you said we got saved. Oh, we did. Greater is he that lives within us than he that's within us and he that's within the world. But we're still in the flesh and have a sin nature. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Now, it's one thing, and it's an awful thing for you and I to lie and even fathom or even try to say I haven't sinned. But if we say that, then we're making Jesus out a liar. That's pretty scary thoughts. The sin nature. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we have seen by the word of God about this sin nature. And if we compare it to the cactus, it's got some problems of its own. It blossoms, it blooms where it's planted, and I guess most of them come from Arizona and Texas, all down there, but I do pretty good around here too. So many different types of cactuses there are. And each one of them, no doubt, has a lot of comparisons. But let's look at seasons in our life. Now, there's a sin question that man has, but the Bible says there are seasons in our life. He put us in an area, we call it the city of four seasons, Hendersonville, Fletcher, wherever you live. We have spring, summer, fall, and winter. And the scripture tells us there are seasons in our life. Look what he says in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3. Every day of our life, is different than another. Sometimes God sends mighty revivals in due season. Other times it seems like we live in the world and probably because of our own sin and transgressions. It seemed, David had that problem too. He prayed and he said, heaven seemed as brass. And it must have been David's fault. It sure wasn't God's. So sometimes we sin, we transgress. But listen to what he says, not what I say, it's what he says. Psalms 1 verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, the dry season he's talking about, the tree doesn't get a lot of rainfall that year, but if it's planted down by the water, it gets roots, and the roots go and take of that moisture in the stream as it passes by. And there's a season. You and I are in this unfriendly world, and it's getting more unfriendly by the day. We all know that. But he put within us a well of water. And we live in a dry country, spiritually speaking, and we live in a dry world. But if we stay close to him, that well within us, we draw water. And he said we'd be like a tree planted by the river water. It doesn't matter if you live in the desert or in the mountains and it doesn't rain. And even if everybody around you is faltering and failing and no one's close to God within ourselves, he said, and it's true, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and we'll bring forth a fruit in due season. Now, of course, he's the one determining and planting the season. Look what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. To everything there is a season. There's a season for the cactus to bloom. There's a season for you and I to bear fruit. There's seasons for the trees to bear fruit around here. And then most of them, not all, go dormant in the wintertime. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Isn't that interesting? And this season, not only is a time for us to blossom and bloom for the glory of God in our daily walk with him, but then he says that everything is according to a purpose. The reason he sends spiritual awareness and people wake up from their sleep. The reason he does everything is the purpose. You and I may never understand the purpose. All we have to do is please him and know that he is doing right. He sets the seasons in our life for his purpose, and we're so glad that we can trust him as Lord of our life. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2. He says there's a time to be born. We had no choice in that, did we? And the time to die, we really don't have any choice in that either. Then he says there's a time to plant and the time to pluck up that which is planted. Pretty well establishes a thought in these verses that there are seasons in our lives. There are seasons in the cactus life. There are seasons in everything for a purpose. And we're supposed to live our lives according to his plan and his purpose for our life. Now, the cactus that I'm familiar with usually blooms in the spring. But interesting thing one time, as we were going to Big Bend, and Sandra and I planned it so well, we're going to go when most of the cactus should be blooming, and I say that they should be blooming when we go. We drive almost at 300 miles from El Paso to Big Bend, Texas. And the cactuses were not blooming, hardly at all. When they got to Big Bend, which is a national park, talking to the forest warden, I said, how did I miss it? Was the literature wrong? The cactuses aren't blooming yet this year when they should be. She said, oh, it hasn't rained in days and weeks and maybe even months. And don't you know that a cactus withholds blooming until it gets water? Woo. You and I are supposed to bloom for the glory of God. But we live in an unfriendly world. And what causes our light to shine and what causes us to blossom and bloom for the glory of God? Water from the precious Word of God. If you think, and I think that I can bloom and blossom and look good to a lost and dying world without God, the Holy Spirit moving my heart, and I'm seeking and searching after Him, we're going to be disappointed. Moreover, the world is disappointed because they're looking. They're trusting that since we call ourselves Christians, that surely we will give the appearance of some of the fruits of the Spirit of Christ. Bloom and blossom for the glory of God. And so I was disappointed. We'll just have to come back another year. And say all you want to, the seasons that you expect historically that tree, that plant's going to blossom, is not going to happen until it gets water. And God expects that of you and I every day of our life to stay the sure service approved, to live for the glory of God. Because people in the world don't understand. They think that we can go through the sadness, the despondency, and all the suffering that we do and still blossom and bloom. And we should. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But not without the refreshing water from the Word of God. We're just going to have to wait for that due season. And He is the one. Let's look thirdly, not only the sin nature of man, and the seasons that God has given, He's the one that establishes those. But I want to look at the spines now, talk to you about, you know, the blossoms are beautiful. But those spines, they're something else. And the spines of the cactus reminds me, and I think it should remind always, all of the penalties of sin in their life. There are penalties. There are consequences. Because that cactus now has those spines. That's the unhealthy part. One reason that we move these cactuses around is when Troy and Zach and sometimes myself play basketball, if the basketball bounces into that cactus, even as hard as that basketball is, those spines go in that rubber, leather, whatever it is, and they're there. And then you get it, and then they stick you. Your skin is softer, and sometimes they expel from there and go in your skin, and sometimes they stay there. But one thing about it, you're not going to get rid of the spines by washing it. You have to take Zach and gets a pair of tweezers, and he pulls them out one by one. I remember one time I inadvertently gotten that cactus plant. I'd reached in there to get something. Hundreds of those little spines, almost microscopic, but I could feel them. So I got out all I could, and some of them are buried within the skin. I don't normally get infection from them. So I was at the skin doctor for some reason. I said, all these things that's in there, I feel them every time I touch it. It's there. Hey, listen, when you got sin in your heart, that spine, that thing, and you're around other people, and you haven't confessed that sin, and you haven't asked Him to forgive you that sin, they can feel. And then every time you think about it, the things that we do that we should not do and all the sins that we commit, He said we're sinners, and we still do things we ought not to do, you think, thoughts you should not think, they're there. So I asked the doctor, what's going to happen to them? He said, well, fortunately, your body will dissolve them. Well, that's good. You mean I have to live with them? And yeah, if you can't reach down there and take a needle or a pin and get them out, they'll go away eventually. Hey, I found we're going to look at the close of the service today, a good way to get rid of sin in your life. The sins that so easily beset you, confess it before God. And then I had some friends that told me this story, that they had gone to Arizona years and years ago, taking their family. And back in those days, I remember as you go through Arizona, those roads, not many people on those roads those days, as you go for miles through the desert, not hardly see anybody. And they had rest areas, you know, bathroom facilities there, very primitive, but they had a little place to stop and eat a picnic. There wasn't any restaurants around. And my friend said that he heard a rattlesnake rattling. It was over there in the cactuses. And he thought it would be fine. You know, I'll just get the biggest rock I can and I'll throw it and take a chance of hitting that rattlesnake and killing it. Unfortunately, he hit a big cactus. And that big cactus exploded. And when it exploded, it threw those spines all over his wife. I mean, that's painful. I'm not talking about those little, like the little cactus I had. I'm talking about one of these big cactuses with those hurtful spines. So you say, well, the sins I commit and the things I do don't affect anybody else but me. Well, if he thought that rock was not going to affect anybody, his wife found that differently. Hey, if you sin and you don't confess your sin, then those spines, those things within their spirit that causes us to say things and think things and act different than, you can't act right when you have sin in your life. You can't act normal. Try to camouflage it all you want to. Try to cover it up all you want to. And if you're around somebody that you know pretty good, you can tell something's wrong. Hey, the world can tell too, because if they've been around you and you got a smiley face and things were going good, I know we have sickness and despair. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that when you have sin, unconfessed sin in your life, and you don't get it out by confessing it to the Father and letting Him forgive it, it affects other people. It affects your family. Just try to think how many families have been affected by someone in the family drinking alcoholic beverages or doing things to hurt the spouse, adultery, fornication. It not only hurts the individual, it hurts everybody in the whole family. If you're saved and doing that, it hurts the church. It hurts Jesus Christ. We've already seen in the text that if we say we haven't sinned, we're calling Jesus a liar. Well, if we do things that we ought not to do and don't confess it when we should and could, then we're bringing reproach on Jesus Christ. Fourthly, let's look at this spreading of this plant. Yeah, I planted one, didn't have any trouble planting that. And then every time I transferred, I just plant one. And it spreads two different ways. If you spray it by seed, it takes a long time to germinate to come up. But if you just set one of them out there, next year there'll be more. It spreads mostly by the root. And how do we as Christians spread the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The Word of God teaches us that they'll be rooted and grounded in the precious Word of God. And when you're rooted and grounded in the Word of God and you're stable, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain. Something about that causes it to spread to other people. They see Christ in you and you're going through circumstances and they know your hardship, what you're going through, and you still have a smile on your face, joy in your soul, it spreads. It multiplies. It causes them to want what you have. And then you get to tell them about it, and you get to share it. And not only that, but it spreads when you don't even want it to. We want to look at the next slide. There's a problem with the cactus. If you want to get rid of them, almost good luck. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're saved eternally. And I've never met anybody that says, I wish I hadn't got saved. But it shows the eternalness. This is a pile of cactuses. John Pearl brought me some roses, beautiful roses, and the best place to plant them is where those cactus was. And I was already getting tired of cactuses because we're getting spines in it, and it's almost three or four times you're playing basketball or you're out there. They need to be moved to a different location. So how to get rid of them? I only need to move one, so I stack them up there. I'm talking about months, just stacked on top of one another. And Sandra says, did you not save one so we can put it somewhere else and start another flower bed? I said, no, I didn't. Will, I told you to. Will, I wasn't listening. Or maybe, you know, maybe just didn't want to. I don't know which. But I said, not too late. She said, you've been out there for months. You're piled up. I said, not a problem. Next slide's going to show us. You just go out there and stick one in the dirt. Pretty soon it starts growing. Look at the next slide. It even already parted the bloom. I'm telling you, that's the way Christians ought to be. Wherever God moves you, just take root, blossom for the glory of God, effortlessly. If God made the cactus to be like that, effortlessly, without any problems whatsoever of somebody having to keep it, just plant it, it's going to grow. And even the bed where I planted the roses, I looked and there's about three of those. I got all the roots, I thought. They're coming back. You can't get rid of them, so to speak. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to grow. You may, in your season, not prosper because you haven't confessed your sin. I'm telling you, our comparison is a lot easier, but sometimes there's not a season of refreshing, but still the power of God's in our life, the well of salvation's in there. But let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. We're talking about the source of grace. John's already told us, if you sin, not if you sin, and when you sin, we confess it. Look at what happens at this source of grace. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. See, these cactuses, you can't handle them. They got spines, and sometimes the big ones explode in the hot desert sun if you damage all these negatives. And a Christian, a child of God, has got a lot of negatives too, because he saved their soul and their spirit longs to be with God this thorn. But we're still in the flesh. That's how the message is, man's sinful nature. How do we overcome that? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That the sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for eternal security. If you sin and when you sin, confess it. Don't go through these long seasons. The world may do it, and churches may do it, and families may do it. But as an individual, you and I do not have to go through long seasons without blossoming and blooming for the glory of God. The only thing that would be withholding it back would be the lack of spiritual watering from the Word of God or the Holy Spirit. He wants to bless. He wants to shower blessings upon every one of us. But if we willfully sin, or we sin unwillfully even and don't confess it and don't acknowledge it, we're not going to blossom and bloom for the glory of God. He's going to withhold that. Even if he had the season lined up to do it, it all hinges on us. Grace, the source of grace, is available. All you have to do is just admit what John told us to do, start with 1 John. Confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The comparison between our lives and our deficiencies, ineffectiveness so many times. Thank God when the cactus blooms, it sure is beautiful to look at. Sandra and I one time were going through Arizona, and I get off the main roads and just go up through. And there was this large, very large greenhouse. And being no mountain boy, that, you know, the dogwoods and all that, they're beautiful, and I'm used to them, thank God for them. But I'd never seen this. And I don't know how many of those 17 or so, 1,800 species of cactuses were in there blooming. But I'm going to tell you what's the truth. From then on, I love cactus. I can't wait, hopefully, to get to go back out west one more time. Meanwhile, somebody ought to start a greenhouse around here of cactuses. And somebody ought to start in your house and our church, blooming for the glory of God. So we're all different. And cactuses are all different. This kind of bloom, that kind of bloom. And we're all peculiar. We think there's 1,800 or 1,700 species of cactuses, and there are. Think about the different groups and kinds of Christians. This one does something for God, and He gives them a season of refreshing, and they radiate. They just bloom for the glory of God. What if every one of us at the same time had the season of refreshing? We just bloom for the glory of God down here. That'd be a better sight to look at than it would a bunch of cactuses blooming, wouldn't it? We could, and we should. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and if you have confessed the sin, ask Him to forgive you, you're still in sin. Therefore, you can't blossom and bloom. There'll never be a season of blooming for the glory of God until you confess that sin and ask Him to eradicate